And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars. Welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. Today, I want to talk to you about a subject that should be so simple that no one really needs to even discuss it. I mean, we're in the United States of America, the land of the free, the home of the brave. I mean, this is a place where you can speak your mind freely and no one can stop you. Or does such a place even exist on this planet? You know, I've been thinking about that recently. Do we really have freedom of speech? Because I've been in, well, this world for about 72 years, and most of my life I've been under great pressure not to tell the truth. I've had to fight very strongly and, well, with much success because I have told the truth, but there are people and institutions that don't want me to speak certain things, and they've made it very plain that if I speak on certain matters, they have the right or the power, they think, to destroy me. And they'll destroy you too. And they have destroyed many people for simply freedom of speech. So, you know, I thought, well, you know, I need to do a program on that. And I was telling a friend about it. I said, you know, I need to do a program on freedom of speech, what the Constitution says, what rights we have, what we should do as Christians. Because frankly, Jesus Christ has given us that right. This is not a right the government has given us. It is a right elaborated on in the Bill of Rights. The first 10 amendments of the Constitution is the very first. But who gave the Bill of Rights to us? Did they exist before they were written down? That's exactly the case. I mean, you look at the history of this, and it seems that these rights existed. They already were in existence. But people said, government, we want you to write them down and vow to make sure that they remain written down and inviolable. In other words, they cannot be violated. You know, before we had the United States of America, we had 13 individual states, and each one had a state constitution. And in every one of them, there was a freedom of speech. And the people of those states had put in those rights, put them down on paper, because they wanted to ensure that the people had these rights. In fact, I was recently reading about how our First Amendment, well, all the the Bill of Rights, the 10 amendments. Now, remember, these are the amendments. These were not in the original Constitution, but it was the first order of business of the new United States legislature, the Congress, to pass them. Now, why did we need 10 amendments? Why were they just not in the Constitution in the first place? Seems like they were forgotten. Well, for example, in Virginia, there was a constitution. They call it, actually call it the Declaration of Rights. Virginia's Declaration of Rights had a Bill of Rights guaranteeing civil liberties. Let me tell you what it said. It said, and this was it's interesting. It said, the freedom of the press is one of the greatest bulwarks of liberty and can never be restrained but by despotic governments. Wow. So what Virginia said, the freedom of the press is one of the greatest bulwarks of liberty and can never be restrained but by despotic, that's dictatorial governments. It's a natural right. It's a great bulwark of liberty. And you can't restrain it. Well, I like that. The freedom of the press. You know, Jesus gives me the right to speak freely too, to tell the truth. In fact, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Those were his words. The way. Do you know the way? Well, follow Jesus Christ. The truth. Tell the truth about it. Know the truth about it. Experience the truth. And the life. You'll have a great life. You'll live for eternity in a life of truth. And that's a great, great gift, my friends. To know the truth, to live the truth, and tell the truth. And actually to be the truth. Now, so Congress had to approve these 10, you know, rights as the Bill of Rights after we became a country. And it was the first order of business. And James Madison, who had one of our founding fathers, had disagreed with his compadres and had said, no, no, we don't need a Bill of Rights. The individual states have rights. That's good enough. Leave it to the states. That's what a lot of people say now, but it seems like the federal government's telling the states, you can do this, you cannot do this, you can do this, you can't do that. And back then there was a fear that that also might happen, so they gave us the Bill of Rights. Now it seems like most people today don't even know what's in the Bill of Rights. Now I want to read to you the First Amendment because I want you to know what it says. And I cannot, for the life of me, understand why some judges don't understand it. It's very simple. All of these rights elaborated on the Bill of Rights are very simple. But it seems like, you know, these horrible people make up incredible ways to try to get around them, these judges particularly. Listen to this. This is the First Amendment. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion. What's an establishment of religion? It's some church, some religion. It can be Santeria, it can be the Church of Satan, Church of Witchcraft, or it can be the local Baptist church. It can be the Roman Catholic Church. But Congress will make no law respecting, that's regarding, an establishment of religion. They cannot pass any laws to do with establishing religion, with a religion. In other words, government, stay out of religion. You don't have any right. None. Congress shall make no law respecting or regarding an establishment of religion. If I want to go to the church of the, you know, the Brogan shoe, that's pretty crazy, isn't it? But, well, it's okay. I can be crazy. This is America. You can be as crazy as you want. If I want to go to the church of the living tree, that's good too. I believe in that tree. He's my God. Whatever you, Congress is not going to make any law saying you can't worship that tree. Now, everybody in the world can say Tex Mars is crazy. He worships trees. And they may be right. But I can still do it. I can go tell everybody I want to. I'm a member of the Church of the Living Tree. Why don't you join my church? I think you'd probably come out. You'd probably have a lot of members. In fact, there are a lot of people that worship trees today. They're called environmental nuts. But anyway, now listen, it says Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. I want to go worship that tree. I can do it. Maybe I want to cut off one branch at a time. Each year I cut off one branch. That's my right. I can do that. Maybe I want to build a little chapel or a big huge cathedral. So I can invite other people to come worship that tree. That's all right. But they say I'm nutty. They say he's crazy. Well, it's okay. Or they might say I'm wise. He worships trees. He's a wise man. No telling what people will do. I mean, people are, well, they're just seemingly insane. But I can still do what I want. This is America. The First Amendment says so. Congress will make no law prohibiting the free exercise thereof. Now, they made a law back in the days of Lyndon Johnson, and they created in the IRS a Section 501c3. It says if you want to become a church, You got to get approval from the government. Uh-oh. Right away, it violates this thing that they cannot make any law respecting an establishment of religion. You cannot say how I can establish my religion or write about an establishment of religion. Either way. You can't do that, government. And you can't prohibit the free exercise thereof. The 501c3 is a very interesting section of supposed law that totally is unconstitutional. But the government used it against Power of Prophecy back when we were Living Truth Ministries many, many years ago. The government sent its tax auditors to come in here and to audit our taxes. Well, they didn't find one cent missing or anything. Everything was okay. In the money department. Oh, they spent weeks. They spent months. In fact, they spent years looking at our finances. Couldn't find anything at all. So then they said, we're finished with the finances, Mr. Mars. Now we're going to audit your philosophy. That was what they told me, the IRS. We're going to audit your philosophy, the kind of things you're teaching people, because some of them may not be correct. Ooh. Now, they're claiming that their law, 501c3 of the IRS code, can prohibit my free exercise of religion. I mean, what I want to tell you today in this program, I can tell you, and they need to shut up and get out of my business and your business. If you don't agree with me, you can change the radio dial. You can go somewhere else. But you might agree with me. Good. I can come up with the craziest ideas. I can say that the stars are really God. There's no personal God. Now, I believe that's nuts, but, you know, I can say that and get away with it because this is a free country and they cannot prohibit the free exercise of religion by Tex Mars. But the IRS said, we can prohibit you. You get 501c3 status. You can't be a real church if you don't teach the things that the government allows. Well, that's incredible. That's what they say. And one thing they told me was that we may be violating was the fact that we teach propaganda. Well, now, what propaganda do I teach? They said, well, we can't exactly tell you, but we'll know it when we see it. But no 501c3 church is allowed to preach propaganda. But I want to know, I asked them, I sent in a request under the Freedom of Information Act. I wanted to know, what is propaganda? And they came back and said, well, we have not defined it. But if we find it and you're preaching, we will let you know. And sure enough, they found it. They said I was preaching propaganda. But they still didn't tell me what it was. But they claim to have found some somewhere. Propaganda. You can't teach propaganda. Wow. Well, they finally did sort of define it. The IRS said, everything you say must be true. You cannot teach or preach anything that is not true. If you teach something that's not true, that's propaganda. Ooh, I see. Okay. So we have found several things that you have taught that are not true. Okay. And we're going to have to punish you as a church because our law, our regulation, 501c3, states very clearly that you cannot teach propaganda. It's called disseminating propaganda. And we've caught you disseminating propaganda. I said, well, now, how many 501c3 organizations are there in the entire United States? The IRS told me there's almost 1 million. I think there were 979,541 501c3 organizations. I said, do any of those teach propaganda other than me? Well, no, they don't. They're okay. We're not auditing them, and they must be okay. All right. How about the Flat Earth Society? That's a 501c3 group. They teach the earth is flat. Now, I don't believe that. How do they get away with that? Well, we're not auditing them. We're auditing you. Oh, okay. What about the Catholic Church? They teach that you can pray to dead people, dead saints, and they'll answer you. You can have a little statue of Saint Francis or Saint Christopher. You put it in your car. You want to sell your house as a certain saint you pray to. He'll listen to you. He's dead, of course, but he'll listen to you. So they believe in communicating with the dead. Now, is that propaganda or is that fact? Is that truth? Well, we can't say for sure, the IRS said. Well, then I can preach that you can communicate with the dead. Well, yeah, I guess so. Okay. And I went on and on to the IRS telling them about all the things that various cult groups and false religions taught. And I said, is this true? You know, they were just crazy things. Folks, there's a lot of crazy religions in this world. Get my book, Tex Mar's Book of New Age Cults and Religions. You'll see what I mean. Boy, they teach some incredible stuff. And it is all prop, but most of it is propaganda. And the IRS says it's okay. So it seems that the IRS only disapproves of the propaganda they don't like. But if you teach propaganda they like, it's okay. But if they just follow the Constitution, the First Amendment says they cannot prohibit the free exercise of religion. The free exercise. If the Catholic Church wants to teach that you can communicate with the dead, then so be it. I personally believe the Bible says that, you know, you can communicate with Jesus Christ. That's who you should be communicating with. Boy, it's an amazing thing. By the way, would you like to know what they said I was teaching that was propaganda? They said one of my guests on my radio show was a guest who had worked for Bill and Hillary Clinton when they were governor, first lady of the state of Arkansas. And you know, Hillary Clinton was involved in a lot of stuff at Rose Law Firm, including some shady deals in the stock market. And my guest said, quote, Hillary Clinton is a crook. The IRS says you can't say that. You cannot say that Hillary Clinton is a crook. That is propaganda. Oh? Well, now let's see. It seems that she lost her law license later on because of these crooked dealings at Rose Law Firm. Yes, she did. She lost her law license for crooked dealings. That wasn't propaganda at all, was it? But listen to me, friends. Even if it was, what business does the IRS have in it? Now, if Hillary wants to sue me for libel or slander or whatever, let her have it. That's her right. Of course, she wouldn't sue me because, you know, she can't. She is a crook, no doubt about it. But the IRS says that's propaganda. See, that's the kind of thing. So the truth is, this government agency, the IRS, did not want you, my friend, you, my audience, to know these kinds of things. They weren't supposed to be taught. And they were going to punish me for telling you about them. But, of course, you could find out about them just going to the newspaper. Everybody knew that Hillary was a crook. And her husband, he's a crook, too. He's a rapist. He's a sex harasser. And he's worse. They stole all kinds of money. Look at the Clinton Foundation. Money, money, money. It's just pure corruption. That's what Donald Trump says, and he's right. Crooked Hillary. But the IRS said, as a church, you cannot say that. Oh, that was my transgression. And they said, we're going to have to take away your 501c3 status. Now, I fought them. I went to court against them. And basically, they settled out of court. And they said, okay, we're going to give it back to you, Mr. Morris. They took it away. And right before we went into the courtroom, they said, okay, we're going to give it back to you. We're sorry. We're going to forget the whole thing. The audit's over. Basically, you win. Okay, so we won. For 4 years, the auditors spent thousands of dollars, you know. Now, friends, if God had not been good, I'd have gone bankrupt. And that's what they wanted. They wanted to drive me into bankruptcy. They didn't care what I was teaching exactly. But they do have a policy. And let me tell you what the policy is. They say another rule that the IRS has about churches is that churches cannot preach or teach against anything that the government has approved. Now, let me explain that. The government now says, according to the Supreme Court rule is, that same-sex marriages are acceptable. If I, as a church, teach the Bible says same-sex marriages are not even possible, they're fictitious. Two homosexuals, Jack and Jack, cannot marry each other, and Jill and Jill cannot marry each other. But the U.S. government says, oh, yes, that's constitutional, that's okay. If I go against the government in that, if I tell you the Bible says same-sex marriage is wrong, they can yank my 501c3. Said, I want you to understand, I don't have 501c3. Because of the experience I just told you about, I told the IRS, you know, that I got my IRS, you know, they wanted to give it back to me, and I said, I don't want it. Because I had discovered by that time, you know, you're crazy if you accept a 501c3. I had no idea the government had all these stupid laws that are not, that violate the Constitution. They don't mind violating the Constitution. The IRS doesn't mind that at all. The Environmental Protection Agency, they don't mind it at all. Our ministry bought a piece of land we were going to build a new building on many years ago. And why, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, of all people, told me that I couldn't build on that piece of land. It was right on the highway. Cars zipping back and forth. There's a big old housing division right in the back. There's a building next door and a building on the other side. It was right there, right in the city. They said their inspectors flew over that. And in their flight, their airplane, they discovered that there was a certain bird on my little, you know, 3-acre plot. I think it's 3 acres, maybe 5 acres. I can't remember now. Yeah, there was something called the golden cheek warbler that was seen there. And if you have a golden cheek warbler on your land, you cannot use your land forever. But you can pay taxes on it. In fact, if you don't pay taxes on it, the government can take it away from you. So they wanted me to pay the taxes on this land forever. But they said you cannot build on that land. But there's buildings all around it. It's in a busy part of town. That's okay. We've seen that bird there, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service said, and we have the right to tell you, you can never build on that again. So I told the lady, you know, was talking to me from the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. She was very arrogant. I said, where's your car parked? She thought I was going to, a terrorist or something, I was going to bomb her car. Of course, I wasn't planning that at all. She said, down in the basement of the federal building here. I said, have you got the keys to your car? She said, yes, I do. I said, let me have them. Why would I do that? She said. I said, don't worry, ma'am. Give me the keys to your car. I'm going to keep it. You can never drive your car again. But don't worry. It's yours. You got to keep up the license on it. You got to keep up the, you know, those inspections on it. You got to pay for your car. But you can never use it. I'm going to use your car. I'm the government. Well, she said, you can't do that. Well, that's what you're doing to me. I can't use my life. Anyway, the only way I got out of that, my friends, was to find the study that they had done some years ago. When they discovered these birds on my land, I got out their study, and it was an air flight. But it turned out that the airplane in question that they went over with and the camera they had on it could not see anything except green trees. They didn't see any bird on my property. They lied. So I went back to them and I said, I've got the proof here. I've got the plane you flew over my property. I've got the kind of camera you had on it. And there is no bird on. You can't even see the bird. In fact, you can't even see close enough to see human beings walking around on it. If it had bears and porcupines, you couldn't identify them. And they looked at, oh, you're right. I guess we made a mistake. Yeah, I guess you did. Well, and they very quickly gave me back my land. And that was so generous of them.
to give me back my land. That they had claimed they saw a bird on my land. Some endangered species. Now, that's probably not an endangered species. I've seen a lot of those little birds around here. But they say it is. And of course, they say the endangered bee, the little a cave bug is endangered. And I think a cockroach is. You know, if a cockroach is of a certain size, that's endangered too. Are you killing cockroaches in your house? Uh-oh. Don't report it to the Environmental Protection Agency or the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. By the way, my land was located in Austin, Texas. Now, Austin, Texas has a metro area, and there's 2 million people living here. So I'm not talking about some land way out in the boonies. I'm talking about downtown land almost. It's, oh, my goodness. It's just crazy, isn't it? They are nuts. They're absolutely crazy. That's why we have the First Amendment. And by the way, the government had no right to my land. I'm the property owner. What right do they have to seize my land and claim they found a little bug on it, or a bird? Then they never found a bird there. They were lying. They lie all the time, friends. IRS lies. The EPA lies. The U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. The White House lies. Now, it continues. Now, I'm going to tell you more about the First Amendment. It says, Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof or abridging the freedom of speech. Congress shall make no law abridging the freedom of speech. What does abridge mean? It means take out any part. They can't take out any part of your freedom of speech. None of it. Now, you can come to me and say, Obama is an evil, ugly man. Well, I don't think he's ugly, but I do believe he's evil. What if I get upset at you? I say, oh, you shouldn't say that about our president. El Presidente. You shouldn't say that. And I go report you for saying that. What can the police do? Nothing. What if I report you to the FBI? They can do nothing. What if I report you right to Obama in the White House? What can they do? Nothing. Why? That's freedom of speech. If you love your congressman, you say, I love Congressman so-and-so. That's freedom of speech. I may think your congressman is a jerk. I may say he's the worst congressman we have in Washington. But you say he's a great congressman. He's a great man. You have a freedom to do so. And Congress shall make no law stating otherwise. See, look, you already have, they can do nothing about an establishment of religion. They cannot prohibit the free exercise thereof. If your church is full of holy rollers, they like to roll around on the floor, get their clothes all dusty and filthy. If they want to jump up and down and speak in other tongues, the government has no right to tell them they cannot do that. Now, somebody walking by may look in the window and say, my goodness, those people are holy roller nuts. That's their opinion. They have a right to their opinion. And you have a right to roll around in the dust and speak in other tongues, both. And Congress shall make no law as to either case, because he has a right to free speech. They cannot abridge it. They cannot change it in even the tiniest way. Now, when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about some strange situations that violate this constitutional right. It's a big right, the First Amendment. I think you should keep it. I think you should use it. And I'm going to tell you how when we return in just one moment. I'm Tex Mars. You're listening to Power of Prophecy. Hello again, folks. Tex Mars here. Every year we have a campaign, I guess you could call it that, for the children's home, the Texas Children's Home. And we help out the kids there that are going back to school. Well, it's that time again, my friends. In fact, it's overtime, really. And we want to help the kids go to school now. We go and we ask them to report to us. Tell us exactly how many children that you have. And I think they have 54 this year. 54 kids going back to school. Now, you know how it is in school. The kids get a backpack. And they get school supplies. And maybe a set or two of new clothes if they can. And isn't it wonderful on the first day of school? Do you remember that? Maybe you could afford it. I never really could, but I always thought how wonderful it would be to go to school and to wear some new jeans and a new shirt and maybe a new pair of shoes. And there you, nice and shiny and new, and maybe even have a notebook or your school supplies. Now, I must tell you the truth. When I was a young boy, I was quite poor and didn't have any of that stuff. And we couldn't even afford pencils. I was always running around the house trying to find a pencil. I loved to write, but we just didn't have pencils and didn't have crayons. And so when I went to school, I would have to beg from other kids. I would say, can I borrow your pencil? Can I borrow the orange Crayola or the purple Crayola? And it was a pretty tough life as a little boy, not having the things that you needed in school. And we want to help these kids. Yes, they're orphans. They don't have moms and dads and such. Most of them don't. And we want to help them. And so we try to give each one, up to about $100 in a gift certificate at Walmart or another place. We don't go to Target because they're promoting transgenders, so we're not going to give them 1 cent. But we go to the other department stores and bring the kids there, and then they can go in and buy what they want to, okay, to help them in school. They can buy, something to keep their lunch in. Or they buy a backpack to keep their books in, or they buy some clothes, all right, inexpensive clothes. And then the kids at this home will be just like the other kids that have the money, that have parents. So we want to help these kids. I call it the back-to-school program, contributions to help these kids as they go back to school. And I'll tell you, it's been a joy doing that. We have the Christmas program too, and we're able to buy gifts for these kids. And some of them have never been given a gift their whole life. Think about that. I was talking with a lady not too long ago. She's 75 years of age, and I was talking about birthdays. She says, I've never had a birthday party. I said, you haven't? No, and I've never been given a birthday gift my whole life. 75 years old, never given a birthday gift. I said, well, what happened? She said, well, my family we didn't do that because they didn't have the money. They had 9 children in their family. They didn't practice birthdays. They didn't bake a cake, didn't bake anything. They just went about as if it was just like any other day. And I thought about that. I must tell you, I think I had my first day birthday gift when I was about 35 years of age. I didn't have birthdays either. I'd wake up in the morning saying, I'm 8 years old today. Well, great. Good for you. That's all. That's it. I didn't receive any gifts. Didn't have birthday cake. Didn't have anything. I remember that. I remember when some other kids did, and I thought, wow, isn't that great? Their parents would give them a little party. I'd say, isn't that fantastic? I wanted to be invited to those parties. And I went to a couple of them. And I just felt, wow, this is wonderful to actually have a birthday party. Well, you can tell I was born poor, can't you? I remember those days. And I think about these kids. These kids may not have a dad or a mom, but they've got you. They've got me, and they've got Wanda. And we're going to give some money to this cause, and I hope you will too. I hope you will give to this. I really do. Now, let me tell you how this works. If you send $5 or $20 or $100, whatever you send goes in this fund, the children's home fund, and it goes for this purpose. It goes to these kids. Now, how much of that money do we keep for administration? Let me tell you, zero. Goose egg, zero. Well, this is the kids' money. It's not our money. You've given it for the kids, and I have too. Why should we? God will let us have administration. We're going to be here. Now listen, the Power of Prophecy also needs donations. We need funds. We need your tithes, your offerings. And we appreciate that so much. But this is beyond that. This is a separate fund. Just call it for the children's home. But send it, of course, to TexMars or to Power of Prophecy. And be sure, put a little note in there and say, this is for the kids. And I'll know what you mean. This is for the kids. Okay? This is for the children's home, Tex. And I'll make sure it goes in the right place. And we'll send you back a letter to let you know it's been put in our fund. And once it gets in that fund, it can't be spent for any other purpose. Only for those kids. 100% will go to those kids. And you know, that's just, it's wonderful for me as we get ready to do this. I ask one of the ladies here in the audience, the office, how much money do we have in our back to school fund? I'm going to ask them. And they come and tell me, I said, praise God. Praise God. I've always been surprised. I think one year we were short. That's because I didn't ask you enough. And we were a little short. And then I got on the radio and said, wait just a minute, folks. Listen, I'm sorry. I'm responsible here. I didn't tell you about this. And right away you responded and everything was taken care of. So we've always had enough to take care of these kids. And I'm going to depend on you now. Would you please give to the Children's Home Fund? Now, again, make it out to TexMars or Power of Prophecy. But put a little note, or on the check, you know, they have a little bitty 4-F-O-R section on the check, the bottom left. You can just write in there for the children or for a kid's home. And we'll make sure it goes in there. We'll give you a letter, and I'll let you know how it goes. But please, help these kids. Send them off to school just like the other kids do. Let these kids, you know, if they need a jacket, a coat, if they need some shoes, whatever is needed, they'll be able to buy. Now, you know, that much money won't buy you fancy stuff. I don't think you're going to get Hillary Clinton's $12,900 Armani jacket. But you know, these kids only need the basics, my friends. And it's going to be so good for these kids to have a backpack like the other kids. Now, it's not going to be a fancy backpack, but they're going to have a backpack. Okay, and you're going to be the one that makes it possible. Now, some of you don't have any kids, or your kids are already gone, and maybe you have an empty nest at home. Well, you could just keep on helping kids. This is a way to do it, and we're going to continue this fund for the future, and I just love it. Now, Wanda began this many years ago. I want to give her credit, and maybe we'll just call them Wanda's kids, okay? But it says Wanda's project. And I'm going to have her come in here in a week or two and tell you about it. And you know, because it's very inspirational. And I'll tell you, you know, if you want to cry, just let Wanda tell you about these kids, okay? But I'm not going to cry today because it's, you know, but I want you to know about it, okay? All right. If you want to give, just send it to TexMars or Power of Prophecy at Power of Prophecy 1708. Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733. And let us know what you want. Now, if you want to give us for the ministry, you can. You know, some people send $50. They'll say, Tex, take $25, put in the ministry, and $25 for the kids. We'll divide it like that for you, okay? Or you might say, well, I don't want to give to the kids now. I just want to give to the ministry. Okay, we'll send it to the ministry and tell us this goes into the ministry, okay? Actually, if it doesn't say for the kids, we'll count it for the ministry automatically. Okay, that's all I want to say today. I don't have any book to sell. I just want to tell you about this campaign fund and give you an opportunity. I believe in helping these kids. You're helping Jesus. You know, it's Him you're really helping. And one of the things that I love best about the Bible, it actually tells you what is pure religion. Would you like to know what it is? It's for the widows and for the children. That's it. You help widows and you help children. If you do, that's pure religion. I like that. All right, let's return to our regular program now. We're talking about First Amendment rights. They are mighty, aren't they? Now the IRS, the EPA, and all these other groups, the White House, they can, you know, claim all these other things. They tell me this right or that right is abridged. But they're a bunch of liars. We've got to fight for these rights, friends. You can't just say, I've got the Constitution. You've got to fight for it. You've got to say, I'm not going to stand for these rights to be taken away from me. Now, I was reading the protocols of the learned elders of Zion. And boy, this is really a revelation. It says here, this is from page 162 of our edition of Protocols of the Learned Elders of Zion. This is what the Zionists want. They say, our countersign is force and make believe. They force with violence, but they make believe. They'll make you believe that you don't have any rights. You know, I was talking with a liberal person recently, and she said, well, really, you have right of free speech, but you can't hurt anybody's feelings. If you hurt somebody's feelings, that's wrong. Shut up. Listen. Hurt their feelings? Come on. I mean, if I hurt somebody's feelings, they can tell me, you hurt my feelings. Well, so what? You hurt my feelings. When I tell you about Jesus Christ, you say, I don't want to accept him. I don't believe in him. You hurt my feelings. Well, you really don't. I mean, it's your business. It's a sorry business, but it's your business. They would say, you hurt my feelings. You're telling me I'm going to go to hell if I don't believe in Jesus. Oh, you hurt my feelings. You violated my constitutional rights. I didn't violate anything. I have a right to tell you anything I want. See, people can get the wrong idea about this right. Now, I've been told that you must not say anything that would offend a person. If you tell a homosexual, the Bible says homosexuality is a sin, and they scream, say, oh no, you've offended me. You have offended me. Well, so big deal what? I've offended you. You're going to be a lot more offended if you go to hell, and I didn't do anything about it. You go to hell because you're going to hell. There's no doubt about it. Oh, now you're really offending me. Yeah, I really am. You see, let me explain something. You have the right to offend people. Now, they can scream at you. They can holler. They can get their friends to demonstrate against you with placards, and they can march around your home. They can do all the, if they stay out of your property, they can do whatever they want to. They can go tell everybody. They can write a letter to the newspapers and say, Tex Mars or Sally Jones, she offended me. She said I was gay, and that's wrong. It's not. I know I'm doing the right thing. Yeah, well, you're not, but that's the point is, my friends, no one has a right not to be offended. Okay? I mean, it's gotten so bad now, and everybody is saying that's politically incorrect. You can't say that. Yes, I can. Now, I'm not saying that everything that I or you say or do is correct. It's just that it's right to say it. It's your right. So the college campuses, they're really crazy right now. These professors are going to tell you what the First Amendment is, but I've just told it to you. Basically, you can say anything you want to. Anything. It cannot be abridged. And the government cannot make any laws prohibiting it or the free exercise of it. That's an absolute right. Whatever you want to say. Well, I don't believe that Muslims are going to heaven. Do you believe that, friends? I do. And you have a right to say it. Well, I'm gonna really hurt you. I'm gonna kill you if you say that. Mm-hmm. Are you? If they do anything to harm you, if they take any active step, they violated your rights. You see, if I get a gun and I point it in your face and say, I'm going to kill you, I've just violated the law. Now that is more than speech. I have committed an act. That's not just offending. That's threatening. That's wrong. You can't do that. You can't do that. If I don't agree with the, let's say the North American Union, and I'm angry because they're building this giant highway through the state of Texas, I cannot go put big boulders or big rocks on the highway so that cars at night can't see them out there on the highway, and they're going to run into them, crash into them, and somebody's going to be hurt. I cannot do that. But I can stand by the roadside with a big sign saying, close down this highway or quit building this highway. That's my right. I have a right to do that. The government can't say, oh, you're hurting the government by saying, you know, close down this highway. They can't tell you that. You have a right to do that. You see, this is America, friends. You have a right. Now, frankly, if you don't hurt somebody by lying about them, now that's, you don't have a right to do that. You don't have a right to lie. For example, I was reading Wikipedia. It has a little biography about me. It tells you a little bit about me. The thing is full of lies. They don't have a right to do that. If I wanted to take them to court, I could. I don't want to waste my time. They don't have a right to lie about me. But the government won't stop them. But I could. I could file a lawsuit. You don't have a right to lie about somebody. Okay? But you have a right to tell the truth about them. The truth is always right. No one has ever won a lawsuit, rightfully, that is, against someone who told the truth. You know, right now there's laws that violate our Constitution, but they're not in America. There's laws over in Canada right now. There's people in prison. In Germany, I understand they've got about 100 men and women in prison right now. Wow, what did they do? They're in prison for what they said. Now, I want you to think about that. They're in prison for saying something, for freedom of speech. What did they do? They said something about the Jews. You know, in the Soviet Union, the communist, the very first law passed in 1917 when the communists took over Russia and those republics. They passed the Anti-Semitism Act. What is that? This law said that anyone who said anything negative about the Jews or Israel, which didn't even exist at the time as a live nation, could be punished and sent to prison for up to 10 years. Wow. You told a Jewish joke, 10 years in prison. If you said Judaism is not of God, that's not a godly religion, 10 years in prison. Wow. Now, I recently read that they passed a new law in Russia. I thought Putin was doing all right. He was defending Christianity. He seemed to be doing pretty good as president. And then the Joker, he went and passed a law. They passed a law in Russia just recently. The Duma, which is their parliament, passed a law. And the law says that you cannot proselytize or tell somebody about your religion. You cannot attempt to get somebody converted. In fact, you can't even say anything positive about Christianity or any other religion except in your church. What good does that do? So you want to go tell John, your neighbor, all about Jesus Christ. You're really fired up. But if you go tell him about Jesus, he'll report you to the authorities, and that's against the law in Russia now. Looks like they've gone right back to communism. That's communism. That's horrible, my friends. Putin ought to be ashamed of himself. But, well, you can tell people about Jesus inside your church, but you can't talk about religion outside your church. Say what? That is a horrible idea. Now, in the old Russia of the communists, they had a newspaper. They started this newspaper, and it was called Pravda. Now, what does Pravda mean in the Russian language? It means truth. So they said to the Russians, basically, we're going to tell you the truth, and we're going to call our newspaper Pravda, the truth. In this newspaper, all the truth will be printed. Uh-huh. Sure it was. All of the communist truth. Reminds me of an attorney I used to have, you know. I asked him to give me a statement on a certain matter, and he said, what do you want me to say? I said, oh, well, just tell the truth in it. He said, but what do you want me to say? I says, well, just tell the truth. That's all I want. Just tell the truth in it. He said, Tex, I'm an attorney. When you tell me to tell the truth, I want to know what truth. That's right. I said, what? He said, there's truth, and then there's truth. Ah, I see. He was used to being a good lawyer. I guess if you want to use the term good, he would say whatever, you know, is going to win you the case. It may be a lie, but he would say it's true. Now, I wasn't used to that kind of thinking, you see. That sort of perverse thinking. I thought of the truth as just truth. There's only one truth. He said, oh, no, no. There's truth, and then there's truth. Which truth do you want? Boy, he taxed my brain heavily, I tell you. Well, Pravda had a big building in Moscow. And on the, when you walked in, there in stone, chiseled in stone, was a motto. In fact, it was a motto, it was a statement by Vladimir Lenin, the founder of communism in Russia. And it said, basically, Pravda stands for truth. However, truth is what will benefit the government, the state, it said. It said, weapons, bullets, can really harm a government. But the truth spoken could hurt words, they said. I actually used words. Words can really hurt. We do not allow people to take up their bullets and their weapons against the government. So why should we allow them to use words against the government? Signed, Vladimir Lenin. That was what they stood. That was every day when the reporters went into the newspaper, the editors would go in. That's what they saw on the wall there. I wish I knew the exact words. I've got them here somewhere in my office. But think about it. Weapons can do a lot of damage to the government, but words can do even more damage. We don't allow weapons, so why should we allow words against the government? That seems like that's what the IRS was telling me, wasn't it? You can't say that about Hillary. That's propaganda. Really? What if I could prove it's true? Well, you really can't do that either because we say it's propaganda. You see how conniving these people are, my friends? We need a First Amendment that's true. That's real. Now, here's the problem. The problem is that Christians are too afraid to tell the truth. They're too afraid to tell the truth. I find that every day in my life. Right now, for example, Franklin Graham will not tell you who he's voting for president. He was asked, by the way, on Fox News, he was asked, who are you endorsing for president? Are you endorsing Donald Trump or Hillary Clinton? Well, I don't want to talk about that, you know, I just pray for both of them. I'm such a holy man. I just pray for them. Sure, he does. He said, I'm conducting a national campaign. I want to go to 50 capitals, and I want to go up to in the state capitol building, and I want to pray for the people of that state. Now, listen, friends, I'm not against prayer. That's great. But why doesn't he want to tell us who he'll select as president? He says, I'm not in that business. Okay. Well, Bill Clinton would used to be asked about a religious question. He would say, oh, that's private. My religion is private. I don't want to talk about that. My religion is private. Really? Well, his religion wasn't Christianity, because let me tell you something, friends. Christianity is not private. If you have something, your pastor says that's private. I don't like to talk to people about that. Listen. They're faking it. The fact is, they don't want you to know what they are or what they really believe. As Christians, you have a responsibility to tell people what you believe, what you're thinking. And it should be truth. It should be the truth. And you should be able to tell the truth confidently, with pride, with integrity and courage. Tell people the truth. Now, some are going to say it offends me. Well, let it offend them. Some are going to say, that's your opinion. Okay, it is your opinion. And you have a right to your opinion, my friends. That's what freedom of speech is all about. And if it hurts the government, so what? Hey, it doesn't matter who it hurts. You tell the truth. Now, Christians, I don't know of any Christians that just say things just for meanness. I don't think Christians should do that. But if it happens that it turns out to be harsh or cruel, well, it just does, if you tell the truth. Now, my wife Wanda, she asked me sometime, she'll come out of the bedroom, she'll say, how do you like this new dress I've got on? Well, now there's a problem. How do you like this new blouse or these new shoes? Or do I look good today? Well, yeah, you do. Well, as a Christian, I want you to handle it very delicately, my friends. But, you know, sometimes you can tell the truth and still get by. I tell one of them, I say, I don't think that looks good on you. I don't think that really looks right. And she looks at me and says, I said, well, honey, I just want you to look good. I want you to look good all the time. You know, you're very pretty, and I want you to look pretty. That usually calms her down. Now, I don't know about those. I don't know what God thinks about that. But sometimes it's better just to be nice. You can say, well, you look really good. You know, I think Wanda, she wears the worst dress or the worst blouse. She still looks good to me. So I tell her that. I'm not lying. I'm telling the truth. Somebody else may say, I don't like that dress, but I probably do. So those are the kind of things, you know, you just got to use good wisdom and common sense with. But honestly, I've gone to many people's houses, and I can't talk about Jesus. I can't talk about the truth. I can't talk about what our government's doing or churches or anything, because they have been taught that those are politically incorrect. Politically incorrect. You know, Alexander Solzhenitsyn was a wonderful Christian. Of course, he was in the Gulag concentration camps of Russia for many years, suffered great there. But he said this, he said, one word of truth outweighs the entire world. Think about that. That's how precious truth is. One word of truth outweighs the whole world. Wow. Of course, George Orwell, and he sure knew himself, he stated, telling the truth is a revolutionary act. Isn't that something? You're a revolutionary just because you tell the truth. I believe that. And you know, Satan is author of the lie. It says right there in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, he's going to delude people. There's going to be a strong delusion in the world. He's going to lie. Just like he did in the garden. He told them they'll be as gods. He's still doing that today. It's a lie. You don't have to believe it. And you don't have to participate in it. You can tell people the truth. Now, they may look shocked. They may, oh my goodness, you're telling the truth. But eventually, my friends, you'll gain a reputation for telling the truth. Not for being cruel, not for being mean, but for simply standing for the truth. Think about that. Wouldn't you like to have that kind of reputation? He's a truth teller. She tells the truth. I can believe in them. I can trust them. That's the kind of reputation I'd like to have as a Christian. That's why I believe in the First Amendment. I believe God gave us the First Amendment, not the government. God. Use it and exercise it. It's a very precious right. This is Tex Mars. You've been listening to Power of Prophecy. It's been my pleasure to be here today, asking you to tune in each week and discover the power of prophecy.